This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly with you today. I'm in for Joe Giglio. This is the midday show discussing Dallas Goedert returning to the Philadelphia Eagles. It seems like this deal is going to get done. Restructuring the contract, probably best for both sides. So discussing that. Also, the Phillies. Phillies win last night in Tampa. We've been too hard on the Phillies so far this year. I think we have been. Hugh does not. And now, to talk about the Phillies, talking about the Eagles as well. We go to 94 WIP's Phillies reporter, Devin Caney. What's going on, Devin?
Dev.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Hugh, I'm shocked by the size of the water bottle that you just showed on camera. If you're listening, Hugh is like a gallon-sized water.
You got to get a gallon of water in every day, Dev. I got to do it. Got
to
do it.
It's monstrous.
You must have to go to the bathroom every 2 minutes.
Not every 2 minutes, but when I go. You know, I mean, yeah. I wasn't expected to be asked about my water bottle.
Well, a lot of it's ice. You got a ton of ice.
Well, I got the ice, and I got to keep it cold. But, you know, I got to drink the water. It's like a gallon. It is a gallon. It's like the whole, you know, you get a gallon. Supposed to drink like a gallon a day.
Well, I like it. Yeah. I think it's I obviously prioritizing your health. That's important here.
I'm trying.
So that's obviously the right thing to do. But Devin, we'll get to the Phillies in a minute. But first, before we get to that, the news about Dallas Goedert likely coming back to the Eagles on a restructured deal. Your reaction, how big do you think it was for the Eagles to get this done?
I think it's massive, and I feel relieved both, you know, covering the Eagles and being a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I feel like we were all a little too casual about the fact that Dallas Goedert might not have been an Eagle, you know, as soon as next season. I understand that there was a chance they could have, you know, drafted one of the talented tight ends. It was a good draft for the most part for tight ends, but Eagles didn't land one in the draft. And even if they had, we don't know for certain how a player like that is going to progress and develop once they enter the NFL. So Dallas Goedert is not an easily replaceable asset to this offense. And I think regardless of, you know, receiving and touchdowns, like he's really important for other plays within the offense. Like he's a great blocker. And that's more than even someone like Grant Calcaterra, who is talented, but nowhere near the level of Dallas Goedert can say. So I think this is massive. I'm really, really glad that they're working this out with Dallas.
Are you a little bit concerned about his health? Because, you know, he hasn't played a whole lot of games in the last couple of years. I think he missed like 16 games in the last 3 years or something like that. So are you a little bit concerned about his health?
Well, it's funny because at the very end of the season, like before draft talk and projections and predictions really started ramping up, I was really big on the Eagles going for a tight end with one of their early round picks. Because of that, because like regardless of Dallas Goedert and his future, this was before all even the rumors and everything that he wasn't going to stay with the Eagles started ramping up. I knew that he has trouble and has had trouble staying healthy. And that is a problem, but he has shown up for this team in its biggest moments, right? Like, even if you look back, playoffs aside, we all know what he did in the playoffs. I can bring up the stiff arm moment. Like, there are so many moments that Dallas Goedert came through, especially this past postseason run to the Super Bowl. But when the Eagles were really struggling at the start of the season and they were playing the Saints, I think it was like the crazy low scoring game. Dallas Goedert was the one guy who connected with Jalen Hurts and scored a touchdown. So he's come through in moments when they really need him. And it's unfortunate that he can't seem to string a full season healthy together. Hopefully he can, you know, improve on that. I don't know if that's going to be the case as he gets older. But that's why you have guys like Grant Calcaterra, and they have signed guys throughout the offseason who can still kind of step in. But Dallas Goedert is there in the moments where you need him the most.
Yeah, now, aside from Mekhi Becton, you keep this offense together. I mean, that's the one guy you lose, but everybody else coming back and should be even better this year. So, big move for the Eagles. Let's move to the Phillies, Devin. They get a big win last night, beat the Rays in Tampa 8-4. The power back for some of these guys, Kyle Schwarber, Alec Bohm goes deep, Nick Castellanos hits a three-run homer. What were your thoughts on that win last night for the Phillies?
I thought it was great. I thought it was much needed, especially, you know, Alec Bohm hits his first home run since September of 2024. And I know, you know, you can say it was a little league park, but would have been a home run in 7 of 30 MLB stadiums. TK, I heard you mention that earlier on the show. I believe Steinbrenner has the same dimensions or is at least the same size, like feet-wise, as Yankee Stadium in the MLB. So I still think it counts. And I'm really happy that Alec Bohm finally got that monkey off his back. And hopefully, you know, this can lead to bigger and better and more slugging from him. I still think, you know, there's things here and there that are left to be desired with this Phillies team. But, you know, to what you guys are talking about throughout this show, I think they are kind of in a perfect spot right now. Like going into this season, Rob Thomson had said himself, the players had said themselves, like they didn't want to start too hot, because look at what happened last season when they played the Mets in early June of last year. There were like 15 games up on them in the NL East. Now they're two games back, and I personally would take that now in early May and then have them ramp up as the season goes on versus starting off really hot and holding on to that number one spot in the NL East and then fizzling out at the end like we saw last season.
You know what, I think Dev, that Kyle Schwarber is one off from the league lead in home runs. Do you think it's time for the Phillies to start talking about maybe re-signing Schwarber, or should we wait to the end of the season?
I don't know. Every time, I think he's tied now with Aaron Judge for the most.
Oh, he's tied.
Runs.
Okay, I thought he was one.
Well, MLB, I think he leads the National League, but he hits a home run like every single night, so it's hard to keep track. But he's certainly up there, and he's certainly playing really, really well. And every time he hits a home run, I have this little voice in the back of my mind that's like, ching, his price just goes up and up.
Yeah, the price of the brick go up.
He is tied with Judge, by the way.
Oh, he's tied. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought he was one.
Yeah, okay. I think 12 apiece.
And Cal Raleigh.
I think Kyle Schwarber is immensely important to this team on and even off the field. I know that, you know, people have issues on the morning show. We're talking about the length of the contract that he would probably want and expect would be longer than maybe
like
what the Phillies would be willing to give him.
Yeah.
I think Joe DiCamera did say that. But if I'm John Middleton, if I'm Dave Dombrowski, I'm giving Kyle Schwarber, I don't want to say whatever he wants, but I am trying my hardest to meet Kyle Schwarber in a place where he's going to be happy, because I don't think you want to lose a guy like Kyle Schwarber on this team, even if he's getting older. I think that just proves and adds to his value on the team. I mean, he's the biggest vocal leader in that clubhouse. And then he goes out there and he's the one consistent guy producing on offense throughout the front half of this or front part of this season. So I think that they should make that a priority, but I don't know if it's going to happen, you know, before the end of this season. So we'll see what happens.
So Devin, with all the ups and downs, we sit here with the Phillies, 35 games in, they're 20-15, two games back of the Mets in the NL East. And the main thing we're talking about today is, have we been too hard on the Phillies for some of their struggles, specifically that week where they lose the Mets series and things look really bad? Where do you fall? Do you think we've been too hard on this team for what was not a terrible start, maybe a little uninspiring at times? Where do you fall on it?
So I think that we've been very hard on the Phillies, but I think it's working. So I think that this kind of underdog mentality or people kind of counting them out already, you know, even though it's only early May and this early in the season, I think that can work for this Phillies team, right? Like it worked for the Eagles. If you look back to 2023 season, when they kind of collapsed and fell apart after going to the Super Bowl, there were all these high expectations on them, right? Like go back to the Super Bowl and finally win it. They couldn't get it done. They were clearly all feeling the pressure and the bright lights. Cut to the next season, they go to the Super Bowl, they win it. This Phillies team, I feel like, is almost in a similar spot where they've had this pressure. And I think that they still feel that pressure in a way, but the kind of counting them out and saying that they can't get it done, I think that just fuels them. And I think in particular, guys like Bryce Harper really feeds off of that. like underdog energy because he leans into that Philly mentality. So I know it's not the most analytical answer, but I think that this team kind of needs us to be hard on them.
Yeah, and hey, obviously the reaction to last year is a big part of it, but the Phillies playing a lot better, definitely taking steps in the right direction. Hopefully they can continue it. But Devin, thanks a lot for
sorry to put you on the spot like this, but yeah. I forgot to ask him myself this morning. Does it look like Joe DeCameron's losing weight? Because we had a little debate about this the other day. And I was wondering, was he incorporating sit-ups into his workout? But does it like Joe DeCameron slim it down a little bit?
I don't know. I haven't really looked. maybe. He has been going to the gym, not very consistently, but, you know, here and there. So
here and there. Wait a minute. Him and Jack got something coming up, though, right? Like, and he was talking, like,
they
he
do.
Was doing a lot
like,
of trash talking.
To set a date to it. Joe finally agreed to officially face Jack in baseball and basketball. I don't even know. They keep adding sports without adding a date for when this is all going to go down. Uh-huh. So who knows? I know I'm on the morning show with Joe. It's hard to bet against Jack Fritz.
No, I tell you
one.
What. Seriously, all jokes aside, because Jack's been working out. Jack's lost a lot of weight. And I meant to ask him this morning, was he doing sit-ups? But I forgot, and I didn't want to put you on the spot. But I just wanted to see, has his body composition started to change even a little bit?
Well, it feels like, Devin, it feels like you're trying to say no in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, it does. That's why.
That's what it feels like.
So I will say this. I don't know about the body composition. I do know Joe has been going to the gym. I can guarantee you he's not doing sit-ups.
Okay.
Did I answer your question?
Okay. So this is the last question. So Devin, are you still claiming Delco, or did that cut? Did some things kind of happen that make you kind of move off of that a little bit?
Well, so Radner is in Delco, kind of. But I know that you tied my name to an event that happened in Delco.
No, Dev, I was just like, I didn't actually tie your name. I was just kind of wondering, did you kind of know?
I tuned into the radio, pooper. And I next thing I hear is Hugh talking about the Delco pooper and Devin. And I'm like, how did I get...
Devin, now it's a good thing that you failed that test, because now you've been excommunicated.
It's guilt by association for people like me.
I can't. Hands off. Nothing to do with me. I don't claim it.
There you go.
You're the best.
Well, Devin Caney, 94 WIP Phillies reporter. Devin, thanks for hopping on with us today.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
I'd appreciate it. I love the question about Joe, the body composition.
No, because Joe, like, they've been going back and forth a little bit.
Yeah.
And Jack has been taking this serious, way more serious than Joe's been taking it.
I don't know about that.
But well, Joe, you have to admit, now he might not be taking it serious.
I think
but
Jack's taking Joe too lightly.
Well, Jack's been working out, so he's not taking him that lightly.
Well, Joe now is talking about if they face each other in baseball, he might not even have to swing. Like, he could just work a walk, and that would show that he wins. I don't know if that
I don't know,
is
man.
That, you can't do that.
I don't know, man. Like, Jack's hella competitive. Like,
I
don't
know. It's been a long time since Jack's thrown a baseball.
Jack is
right?
Mr. I used to pitch. Like, yeah. I think the standard should be higher for him.
You can't walk to camera.
You don't think Jack has been pitching? You mean to sit?
I don't think he has.
Not competitive. The way that we know
Jack way better than I do.
He's washed up.
I think Jack's been pitching. I think Jack has been quietly pitching somewhere to somebody.
You think so? I think so.
I think he's been doing something. Jack's not about to let the camera like just doing bad. I don't think he might have a choice.
Well, I can't wait to see this regardless.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting.
215-592-9494. Go back to the phones. But Kyle, you said that now Kyle Schwarber's tied with Aaron Judge and Cal Raleigh.
The big dumper.
I was going to ask you guys if you knew his nickname. He's got a big butt. Big dumper.
Yeah, how about that?
Did you know that here?
No, dumping him into the seats all season.
I'm about to look it up, though, now.
There's not much more to the story. Basically, his nickname is the big
Googling
dumper
big
because
dumper.
He's got a big butt. Yeah.
Big dumper.
That's
an HR problem.
Nice. 215-592.
I mean, I did it on my phone, though.
9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing today?
What's going on, man?
Happy Winning Wednesday, baby. Come on, man. Let's get some hypeness in the building, baby. We on our way to start doing what we need to do. Listen, I want to say something about Goddard first, man. I'm glad they finally, you know, going to give him a contract. Like, you know, Goddard is an X factor for the Eagles. I don't care. You know, a lot of people don't see that, man. This guy, he does a whole lot, man, especially with that blocking. And you got to understand, yeah, he's hurt because he's blocking. When he catches the ball, he's getting yak yards. I mean, this guy is consistent on every play damn near that he's on the field. So it's going to be some injuries here and there. But one thing I have to say, he stayed dedicated and he stayed committed to winning, man. And for us to, if we was to lose him, man, that would have like been a big loss. And I'm glad they finally got this contract, you know, and they ready to sign him for how many years or whatever. But he's a big X factor, man, and you'll see this season coming up. And I want to say something about these Seals, man. I keep telling everybody, man, I'm the only one that haven't been doubting these dudes. Just like I wasn't doubting the Eagles. After that, that fifth game last season with the Eagles, I was on board because I saw that they was mentally ready. And that's what I'm starting to see these guys do as far as the Phillies. They starting to get mentally ready. They starting to actually have fun again. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad that, you know, it's not so much pressure, man. And just like what you said, Hugh, it ain't about the start, it's about the finish. And that's what we need to really focus on this season. How to finish, man. And what I'm going to need is for Rob, when it comes down to managing these tight games toward the end, I need you to make the right calls, man, and put the right people in place, man. And I'm going to end it with this. My man Kepler, I keep telling y'all, he's eating up. And I would like to see Kepler go in front of Castellanos. That's going to be a crazy combination, man. They need to incorporate that into the lineup, man. And, you know, I just think we're starting to heat up. And
you still want Alec Boehm to lead off?
Alec Boehm leading off.
It's Will's take.
No, I didn't think Alec Boehm leading off. I'm just saying, in the lineup, I would like to see Kepler in front of Castellanos, okay, Whatever the lineup is. What? Because them two together, they hitting heavy, man.
Well, Castellanos has hit pretty well as well. They got to split up the lefties. But anyway, Will, do you have a guess for Hughes Clues?
Okay, I'm going to go with, I heard you talking about her a lot. I'm hoping I pronounced her name right. You said she had the Captain Morgan look.
Tiana Taylor.
Yeah.
You know that? I mean, I get it. Appreciate that. Wasn't it? If we'll walk right into that one.
Who's Tiana Taylor?
She was married to Amon Shumpert.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. What does she do though? Is she an influencer?
She's a singer. She's an influencer. She's fine.
Oh, okay.
I mean, she's fine as fuck.
All right. Yeah.
She's an actress. She's a jack of all trades.
Okay.
Like, she does a whole lot. So right. She was dressed up. Yeah, she was dressed up as Captain.
What did you think of her outfit?
Her outfit was flat. You know what's funny? Because I went on a site and I looked at some of the comments, and it's just amazing how many people are clueless about what the Met Gala is. Like they just woke up one day and figured out what the Met was, because they were talking about the outfits and how. Because Taquan was there, and he had on some high water pants, mm-hmm, and people were clowning him about the high water pants. But it's an event where the more over the top you are with your outfit, the more exposure you get.
I'm not gonna lie, I think it's really stupid. Like, I think these outfits are ridiculous. There's one girl that's there. I think Jenna Ortega. She has a dress made of rulers. Like, what's the point of this?
Well, it's most dumb. Of the time when you're wearing like high fashion like that, it's basically a one off. And it's the most outlandish design that you can think of. And, you know, the more that I think about it, and once I found out what the theme was, it was the Black Renaissance and Dandyism, which somebody had to shout out to the person that told me actually what it was. Jalen's outfit made a lot more sense. Now, I still believe he probably could have been a little bit over the top, but I get where he went the more conservative route. But it's about being over the top, and it's about being eccentric. And I don't think a lot of people did that. Because I'm telling you, if I go, whatever the theme is, I'm going over the top.
Yeah.
I am definitely going over the top.
We got to get you there.
Now, I'm trying to figure it out.
This needs to be the crusade. We'll get Hugh to the Met Gala next year. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Nick in Hillsboro. What's up, Nick?
Good morning, guys. Hey, TK, good to hear you in the morning as well.
Thanks, Nick.
What's going on, man?
I'm so happy that they brought Goddard back. Tight ends are, you know, a giant safety net for when things hit the fan, so to speak. But one of my gripes I've had forever is like the NFL contracts. You always hear year after year guys wanting new deals, like 2 years into a 4 or 5 year deal. You know, they gripe and complain, I've outperformed it and this and that. But in Dallas's case, when he's hurt half the time, I mean, he should be giving money back. He's missing half the year for the contract he has, you know? So I'm glad they came to some kind of agreement to bring him back.
And Nick, I get that he's missed time, but this is the thing. When he's on the field, he's a really good player. And you look at that postseason last year, I don't know if the Eagles win all those games without Dallas Goedert, especially the Packers game and the Rams game. He was really important in the passing game in both those games.
Agreed. I completely agree. And the Saints game, he won almost single-handedly too, mm-hmm. you know? But I'm just happy he's back. My point is that if you can't have it one way where, oh, I outperformed it, I want more money. But then when you kind of underperform it because you're missing so much time, you know, there's got to be a different scenario where, like, things could be more incentive-based or something. There's got to be a better scenario for these contracts because they just don't make sense half the time.
Well, Nick, I'm guessing that, you know, Dallas probably has an incentive-laden contract or they probably stretched it out so to make it, you know, better for the Eagles. But it probably is something like that. I mean, I get what you're saying, but nobody's ever giving money back. Nobody's ever going to do that.
Of course.
You know what I mean? I hear you, but now ain't nobody doing that.
Well, I'm seeing something right now. This is from Field Yates. He says Dallas Goedert was due $14 million in cash from the Eagles prior to the renegotiated deal. His new deal, $10 million in cash with a chance to earn another million via incentives. So I guess we need to get more information on this, but it seems like this is a good deal for the Eagles.
Yeah, they wanted to bring that cap number down. I'm not a capologist, but I assume that's what they wanted to do. So a lot of times when they want to bring the number down, they'll extend you out and they'll give you a signing bonus mm-hmm. and give you like what, say if your contract was $14 million, like it was $14 million, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they gave him a $10 million signing bonus. Maybe they gave him a $6 million. And then they bring his cap number down and they extend his years to help it work for the team. So I don't know. I don't know. But it sounds like he got some money in his pocket.
Definitely. Nick, what is your guess for Hughes Clues?
I was going to guess Jalen Hurts, but that's probably not it.
It is
that's not a bad
Jalen
guess,
Hurts.
Though. Thanks that's not a bad guess.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, it is not him. But this is also a noteworthy piece from Jeff McClain's reporting here, and this is from EJ Smith, also the Inquirer. Dallas Goedert had options to leave, but decided the best course of action was to work on a new deal that keeps him in Philly for the foreseeable future. So, you know, that's good news. And this is where I think you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but as an organization, and we heard Jeffrey Lurie talk about it on with the morning show the other day, is the importance of culture and the importance of creating a place where people want to be. Because this is a situation where maybe if it's somewhere else, maybe it's an organization that doesn't function well, Dallas Goedert saying, no, get me out of here. I'll go somewhere else. I'll figure it out. But the fact that he wanted to stay here, I think, is a massive positive for this team. It speaks to the culture they have.
I'll tell you what, man. As a guy who's been in free agency, got traded here, went to Jacksonville and all this other stuff, it's something to be said about being at an organization that really feels like family. I think that the Eagles were trying to trend in that direction when I left. They were going in that direction, and they finally honed those skills with – you know, Howie being in the position that he's in, you know, Jeffrey Lurie, Mr. Lurie, learning from his mistakes and everything. It feels like home. And not only that, a lot of guys, which is surprising, that are a part of this team, they live here in the offseason. You know, it was a lot of times where when I was here, a lot of guys went home to wherever they were from. But they've really done something with the culture and the way that they treat these players that nobody really wants to leave, man.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and great that Dallas Goedert's back. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Back to all your phone calls coming up on the Phillies. Have we been too hard on them this season? Hugh doesn't think so. A second Hughes clue coming up. Plus, we'll get to the big news from last night. The Cowboys made a pretty significant trade. Get to what that means for the Eagles. That's coming up next. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly, in for Joe Giglio today. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yes, and I have a read that I have to do. Winning on the field starts with how you recover off the field. And nobody helps you bounce back like my team at the Mattress Warehouse. Now during the Mattress Warehouse Memorial Day sale, you can save up to $70 or 70% warehouse-wide. Mattress Warehouse has mattresses for every body and every budget, like a queen mattress. You can get that starting at $159.99. That's pretty good for a queen mattress, man. Y'all know how much mattresses cost. So, you know, to pay $159.99 for a mattress, that's not a bad deal. Plus, buy one, get one 50% off on all bed gear, pillows, and sheets. These pillows are phenomenal, man. Have you ever had some of them pillows, TK, where you get, they like the firming pillows?
I have.
Awesome time, man.
Need them.
Not sure which mattress is right for you? That's okay. The Mattress Firm has that bed match technology that takes the guesswork out of buying a mattress. The only diagnosis technology backed by real science to help recommend the perfect mattress for you. Do what I did. Come in today and sleep better tonight during the Mattress Warehouse Memorial Day sale. Shop the entire selection and find a location nearest you at mattresswarehouse.com. MattressWarehouse.com.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. This hour on WIP is fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance from your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car to 94 only at Sunoco. Talking about the Phillies today. Have we been too hard on them to start the year? And the breaking news during the show, Dallas Goedert coming back to the Eagles. They are restructuring his deal. And this is interesting, Hugh. The more information that comes out on this, you know, we talked about would there be years added onto the deal? Would it be an extension? Initial reports indicate this is basically like a straight pay cut. Like Dallas Goedert was due to make, I think, 14.25 this year. It's cut down to 10 with $1 million of incentives. So, yeah, Dallas Goedert just taking a pay cut. It seems very similar to what the Eagles did last year with Josh Sweat.
I mean, that's interesting. I mean, if he's happy with that and you know, that's what it is, then I commend him for it, because a lot of times guys don't take pay cuts. But I think that goes to how he feels about being here, being a part of this team, you know, being this late in his career and loving the culture here. That's commendable, you know, because I don't think that I would have done anything like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people wouldn't have, but he feels strongly about being here. And, you know, you just won the Super Bowl, so that has something to do with it. And to be honest, I wasn't thinking like this in my younger days, but the city that you played in and had most success in, man, that's if it works out for you to stay, it's probably the best thing for you to do.
And I know with players, I mean, money's always the top factor for the most part. Like, that's always the big motivator. But how much, like, in this kind of situation, do you think it influences Dallas Goedert? Like, the chance to run it back with this group again, how much do you think that does play into
it? I think it does. I think it does. I think the fact, like I said, the thought of picking up and having to start over, for me, it was not a big deal. I've kind of been that my whole life. You know, from leaving to go to college to being here and just moving around. I'm kind of like a vagabond. But it's something to be said about being somewhere where you could plant roots and feel comfortable. Because like I said, man, there's a lot more guys that actually live here in the city that stay in the city than it did when I played. So there's something to be said about the culture here and just being around in the city. So, yeah. I commend him for that.
Well, just know we don't look at you as a vagabond.
Oh, I
you're
do.
A Philly guy now.
Oh no, I'm a vagabond. Yeah. I am. I guess for lack of a better way of saying it, Tom, I'm a paper chaser.
Does she do anything for us?
I'm gonna go get that. Like, if the bread is to be got, I'm gonna
you're
go
out.
Get that bread.
I mean, what are we paying for?
I'm gonna go get that bread.
Hey, it's not.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Not
if
a bread approach.
If the bread makes sense. Hey, I mean, they're going to go get that bread.
You're
going
to
go get it. Yeah,
you're a businessman.
I'm a businessman.
You're a businessman.
Because this is a businessman.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Your excitement level, Dallas Goedert returning. Think this is huge. Eagles basically keep the offense intact. You lose Mekhi Becton, but aside from that, hey, this offense was loaded last year. They bring everybody back. Dallas Goedert returning to the Birds. Great news for the Eagles. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Julie in Swedesboro. What's up, Julie?
Julie.
Hey, guys. Super stoked that Dallas Goedert's staying around, but I want to talk about the Phillies. I do think people have been too hard on them. Now, I was pissed off with the slump they went into after they started the season, you know, really well. But it's April, and I know every game is important. Hugh, I don't know if you remember, I called in a few weeks ago flipping out about Rojas.
No, I remember. I wasn't going to – Julie, I was going to let you finish talking, but I was like, I wasn't going to say nothing until you got done. But, I do remember.
I was pissed. So, I mean, And
well, him going to third on that play, Julie, was ridiculous. I mean,
it was.
What is he doing?
I mean, he's redeemed himself in a way. He He really has. But I think last night was a turning point. Now, obviously, Lacassie's homer was huge because, obviously, the bullpen gave up some runs at the end, so they needed that home run to win the game. But them embracing each other at the end, him and Harper and Schwarber hugging each other, like, to me, that was an aha moment. They looked like they were having fun, and they haven't looked like they've been having fun over the last however many weeks, even though they have been starting to play better. Like, last night, I think, was really the turning point for them. As long as they just go out there and have fun, and not have too much pressure on themselves. I think they've had a weight on their shoulder for a while. I really think that things are only going to go up from here.
I hear you, Julie. What do you got for a guess for Hughes Clues today?
Well, I was going to say Jalen Hurts, the guy that took my answer, but now I'm going to say Pharrell Williams.
Pharrell Williams.
That's a good guess. A really good guess.
Good guess.
But you know what you've done now, Julie, like, since you've changed your mind, like, you're kind of in the Major League Buddies category just a little bit. So if it goes bad, Julie, and you get upset, you got to call us and let us know how you're feeling.
I will. And if they go on a slump, yeah, I'll be pissed again. And this team is known for being streaky, but you got to stay behind them, right? Like,
they're not gonna
win every single game, and they have to go into the mindset. Like I mentioned the last call, every team around us is better. The Mets are better. The Braves are better. So you can't make silly mistakes. You can't lose like stupid games like that, but you're still not going to win every one, but you at least got to put a good product out on the field every night.
Definitely, Julie. Appreciate the call.
Thanks for the call.
One of the things that Julie said there, Hugh, I think is interesting, because one of the part of what we've been talking about today as far as not being fair to the Phillies or being too hard on the Phillies does go back to what happened last year and whether that should be, you know, play into how we view this team. And I do think like the players are feeling that as well. And at least in the first month, I feel like just have how we as a fan base have carried over our feelings from last year in the postseason. I feel like the players aren't totally past it either.
And no, they're not.
Maybe when she, you know, brings up what happened last night, you know, the players all looking like they're having a little more fun.
It could be a turning point.
Yeah, maybe they're moving past that a little bit.
It could be just like Coach Bubblehead's turning point when he cut his hair. And we sat there at the pregame, me and Elliot, and was like, dude, this might turn into something special. I mean, it could potentially be that. Not as dramatic. But yeah, it could definitely be that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's
Coach
get
Bubblehead
your...
is still harsh, though. Nah.
Coach Bubblehead, but he's okay. Super Bowl winning Coach Bubblehead.
I don't give a shit to me.
I think that's respectful enough. Yeah, I think that's a respectful enough way to put it. But Hugh, okay, your first clue was somebody at the Met Gala. Please give us your second clue for Hugh's Clues today.
This individual is one half of a duo. Mm. That's a good guess.
That should help a lot.
That's a really good guess.
One half of a duo.
Wait a minute. What did I say? A good guess. That's a good clue. I said it wrong.
I mean, there's different really kinds of duos too.
Like
could be someone
Batman.
Who showed up as a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, there are a lot of couples
or something
who go to
else.
The Met Gala. Not LeBron as a couple. He didn't go. He sent his wife on his behalf. Did you guys see that tweet? That was so embarrassing.
I didn't see the tweet, but
oh my God.
I saw Savannah. I saw his wife.
He tweeted out that he wanted to go so bad, but he couldn't go because of his knee injury. It felt to me like it was just making an excuse for why he lost in the playoffs.
Yeah, he wasn't going. He wasn't going to the Met. Because I was like, when I saw, I was like, why isn't he with her? You know, and I guess he felt the pressure from people asking. Because that's a big deal. The first athlete that I remember going to the Met that was a big deal was Odell Beckham Jr. And that he went, I do believe, was because of a losing effort. Because they lost that game. When he made that catch and he blew up, they lost that game.
Yep.
But you would never know it by the way people acted, because that was a hell of a catch.
Yeah, now every athlete goes to the Met
Gala. Who was it? Stephon Diggs was there. Who? Justin Jefferson. Stephon Diggs looked like King Joffrey Joffrey.
Maybe we don't name everyone that was at Met Gala.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot.
He's our subject. These are the subjects of these
questions.
But you know what's funny?
But the reality of it is, I could say the name and nobody would guess it. Because they don't pay attention. The YouTubers, the you people, they pay attention.
Yeah, they pay attention to everything you say.
Yeah, they pay attention.
Let's go to Mike in Norristown. What's up, Mike?
Yo, what's going on, fellas? Good afternoon.
Up, Mike? What's going on?
Hugh, you know you're my man, but Tuscan is T-U-S-C-A-N-N.
Tuscan. It's Tuxan.
Mm. Oh, two N's.
No,
at
no
the end.
Tuscan. Tucson. T-U-S-C-A-N.
No, we're trying to say Tucson.
Mm. Oh, my bad.
Well, see, no, don't worry about it, because we've been, like, listen, dog, we screw stuff up like that every day.
We do?
Yeah, we do. Here's what happened, Mike. Tucson is spelled, how's it spelled, Kyle?
T-U-C-S-O-N.
Yep.
Okay.
The car is T-U-C-S-O-N, but it's really Tucson.
No.
It's Tucson.
You're wrong.
No, it's Tucson.
When you stop lecturing people on something that you're incorrect about.
It's Tucson. All right, let's move on.
When you say it phonetically, what is it? What is it?
We're not saying it phonetically. No, we're saying it how it's pronounced. It's a proper noun.
What is Houston? How do you spell Houston?
How do you say Hugh phonetically then? Hug?
Some people say hug. Some people say you.
what's correct?
Well, whatever they say, because I'm answering to both
can
of
we,
them.
Can we start calling you Hug?
You do not answer Hug.
I do. Hug Douglas? For a long time.
It's a good name.
I had a friend of mine used to call me Hug all the time. Still calls me Hug.
Yeah.
Because that's how he pronounced it. It's phonetically.
Hey, Hug, can I talk?
Yeah, you got my fault, Mike.
My man. You're my man. Dallas got again signed. Let's go. We're repeating. Let's 13-4. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, a good move, Mike. I think everybody agrees Dallas Goedert coming back was something that is a major positive for this team. Losing him would have been a really tough loss at this point in the offseason.
It would have been.
Absolutely. He's a top five tight end. He showed that in New Orleans. He won that New Orleans game last year, if you remember. He was a stud. He was my fantasy tight end. Got me like 28 points.
It's fantasy. Yeah. He didn't want to get him on another fantasy team. He wanted to still have him.
Yeah. What do you got on the films, Mike?
I want him on my fantasy team. Absolutely. I'm going for him. I'm going to get him in the third round this year.
What do you got on the Phils, Mike?
Phils, you know what? I'm with you. Wake me up when September ends.
He was about to say, you could have said, you could have said Hug, Mike. We're there now. We're at the phonetic space. We're in this phonetic space.
I can call you Hug now.
You can call me Hug.
All right. I mean, I got pictures with you. I met you, so I'm with it. All right, cool. All right, Hug.
All righty then.
All right. Well, there you go. Mike, what's your guess for Hughes Clues?
I'm going to say Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade is incorrect.
That's a good guess, though. Yeah. That's a really good guess.
Yep.
Now people are thinking. They're thinking a little bit.
He was so willing to be right that he will allow people to call him
name. It's not that. Phonetically, that's how it sounds to him. I mean, that's cool.
It's not about phonetically, though. It's about how it's said.
Live your truth, Mike.
Now, this is the thing. I'll push back on Hug with a lot of things here. But in the first segment, I could just sense how passionate you were about this. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't want any part of this debate.
No, you know what it is?
I'm just going to let you have this W.
Can I be honest, Tom?
Sure.
Can I be full disclosure?
Of course.
Because I've learned that there's a group of individuals out there that they really get triggered when I mispronounce words or say
I'm the one
things.
That has to deal with that.
and they call Kyle, like, I'm not doing it on purpose. Like, it's their mission in life to gatekeep the proper enunciation. Yeah. So I do it on purpose.
If you go to my Twitter, my new profile picture is, so the YouTube camera caught me just getting off the phone with somebody calling to correct his pronunciation, and I'm like, my hands are like over my head. I didn't know I was on camera.
Yeah.
But it got picked up by YouTube.
You gotta watch yourself nowadays.
Yeah.
It's gotten to the point that I have friends, and I'm not gonna call them out, but I got a text this morning from a friend of mine that said, you're wrong. It's Tucson. And that's the person I'm trying to trigger because he's a little anal. He likes to do things the right way. Brett. It's Tucson. I said I won't call him out. Yeah, Brett, it's Tucson.
It's Tucson. Well, you know what? Again, we'll give you Tucson.
I'm not giving him Tucson.
Well, if we can call him Hug, I think that's a fair trade.
It bothers Kyle.
I don't want to call him Hug.
You don't want to call him Hug.
Because Kyle gets...
Huggy Bear Douglas?
People make the phone calls to Kyle. He gets upset.
Man, Hugh, I think
I don't care. Like, they got to realize, man, like, when the you people get mad at me and say mean and hurtful things, call me Super Grover or whatever, that don't bother me.
I think if he went by Hug Douglas during his career, he'd be getting the invites to the Met Gala.
Yeah, but I don't think he would end up an Eagles Hall of Famer. Like, you don't get 80-plus sacks being Hug.
Oh, I disagree.
Yeah.
For a D-end, that would be a great gimmick. He's going to hug the quarterback.
Fair.
You know?
Tucson. I guess I can envision it.
Yeah. You don't seem very convinced.
No, until the phone rings and somebody
that's
says.
That's what Kyle's just like. All right.
You know how to pronounce the stage where it?
Not the guy I grew up watching.
Yeah.
Does he know how to pronounce
also, like,
the name?
The stadium can't chant Hoag.
Yeah,
like they could
true.
Do here.
Yeah,
you know?
That would be.
Or
been.
You.
That
would you.
Been
you,
yeah.
Douglas.
Let's go to Aaron in San Diego. What's up, Aaron?
Good afternoon, Philadelphia.
What's going on, man?
I'm going to steal a line from Peter Griffin, and today is a Grind My Gears Wednesday. What is this world coming to?
What are you talking about, Aaron?
He's talking about the...
It's bad enough that this station allows a flight attendant to call the station and talk tough about a team that hasn't won anything since I've been a senior in high school. Now we have a producer that's moonlighting as a Celtics fan. And then you guys are telling me to, get back into the game of the Phillies and get back into support the team that broke my heart the last 3 years. My best friend is a Mets fan, okay? And I had to endure the embarrassment of that series last year with that final game. I had to sit in his house and listen to him just yeah. So until this team, they can talk as much as they want, but until they start walking the walk and they start being patient come playoff time and not swinging at things that are way out of the strike zone, then maybe I'll buy back in.
Well, they've done that the last nine games. They've won 7-9.
Earn my fandom back.
You talk bad about everybody.
Are you watching the games, Aaron? That's what they've done.
I watch the highlights all the time, and it's the same old story. Home run.
Oh, yeah, hitting home runs is so awful.
They're not really hitting that many home runs, though.
Let's wait till the games really matter and see if this team can play championship baseball. Because this is a championship city now. Mm. Division titles mean nothing. You know, conference titles mean nothing. We want World Series championships.
Yes, we do,
now.
Aaron, but how do you enjoy this? So you will get no enjoyment from this Philly season. It doesn't matter if they win 30 games in a row. You don't care?
Listen, I haven't talked to my best friend for 3 months because of that series against the Mets. Because every time I talk to him, I got to hear about the Mets owning the Phillies.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Mets did own the Phillies in that series, and I appreciate the call, Aaron. That's who you have on your side, Hugh. That miserable Aaron,
who's
sitting there grouchy on his couch with his arms folded, watching the Phillies and saying, these guys suck.
Well, to be fair, Aaron's on my side today. Me and Aaron have somewhat of a gentleman's agreement. Like, we agree to disagree on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just today, we're just aligned today. It just happens to be today. Now, tomorrow,
you're not aligned
different.
With that, though. That was too far.
No, I just thought it was kind of funny when he called you out, called you a Celtics fan. That was the straight was meant for you.
I just, look, I know, because Aaron was yelling at me on the phone and people were yelling at me yesterday. I can't help how I feel. I cannot have the Knicks win this series.
Live your truth, Kyle.
You're wrong about this. I'm not. I
hate New York fans infinitely more than I hate Boston fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want New Yorkers to feel sadness all the time. There are rivals in every single sport. The Knicks beat us last season. I get Celtics have been in our way for a long time. I wasn't around for most of those, by the way, for all the times that the Celtics were winning titles and stuff. I've already accepted that the Celtics are well past us. I cannot have the Knicks do what we couldn't do.
But this is the thing. I'm at the stage where I am so mad at the Sixers. I want the Knicks to make their embarrassment worse. I want the Knicks to make the Sixers shame worse. And if they beat the Celtics, I mean, that even further embarrasses the Sixers. That's what they deserve.
I don't think the Sixers are going to change how they operate based on whether the Celtics win or lose the series. Like, I guess we can feel a certain type of way as fans, and everybody has the right to do that. I'm just saying, I can't help the fact that I cannot have the Knicks win this series. I can't have it.
Either way, let's just, whoever wins, please, Indiana, they're up 2-0 now. Hopefully Indiana can knock whoever wins off in the Eastern Conference Finals. This segment sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or a grinding? Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. Now, we do need to mention, Hugh, another big move within the division. The Cowboys made a trade overnight. They trade for George Pickens, the I guess you could say, disgruntled receiver from the Steelers. Didn't really seem like he'd be back. They sign or they trade for DK Metcalf in the offseason. George Pickens traded to the Cowboys. He'll line up across from CeeDee Lamb. Some weapons on that Cowboy offense. Does it worry you at all, Cowboys make this move?
No, George Pickens is a decent receiver. Played at Georgia. Pretty familiar. I think that was on the team with Keely Ring on those cats, because they're pretty familiar with him. No, I'm not. No. Because Dak's still coming off of his injury. They got the guard that is talking about he can't wait to see Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter beat you like a drum when you were in college. Jalen Carter's been in the league for 3 damn years. What do you think's going to happen? With Jalen Carter has been fighting grown men and besting them for 3 years. And you come in with that bravado? I just think, like, yeah, no. Am I worried about the Cowboys? That's basically, no.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And no, I'm in the same boat. And this is the thing. Like, I do think defensively, the biggest concern I have is the corner on the other side of Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah.
Is you don't have a set kind of person to take over there. You have Keely Ringo, Adoree Jackson, Eli Ricks. That's probably the guy, whoever that is, who's going to be going up against George Pickens.
I do like George Pickens' physicality, though.
Right.
I like the physical style of play that he displays, and he does have somewhat of an attitude.
But doesn't it feel just like a very Cowboys move, though?
Yeah.
Like, it's a flashy move. It's a move. Oh, people get excited about it. It's not going to make them any better of a team, though.
Well, I think... I guess I have a few different thoughts on this. I think George Pickens with Dak is a much better quarterback situation than Pickens has ever had with Pittsburgh.
No, I agree with that.
Bit of a head case, though.
He's not George. What I remember from George is that he stepped his game up when Kirby Smart, Coach Smart, said something to the effect that they didn't have any NFL receivers on their squad during that time. And so George stepped his game up. And he was able, you know, to play well for Georgia.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, blazing speed and routes, like, I don't watch a whole lot of receiver routes. That's not how I watch the game. But he's had some phenomenal catches, but he doesn't for me move the meter.
I don't think he's great in terms of, like, separation.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got CeeDee Lamb on the other side of him. Like, yeah. I do think he's in a pretty decent offensive situation in terms of the quarterback and the other receiver. But, like, it is kind of an interesting phenomenon, though. Like, receivers that Mike Tomlin gets rid of, like, it always feels like he gets out ahead of, like
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown, like Deontay Johnson, like everyone that leaves the Steelers, you can sort of see why. Like, and if Mike Tomlin can't deal with you, then I'm not 100% sure the Cowboys will be able to deal with them.
Seems like a great fit. Bring a volatile receiver to the Cowboys. Yeah. It doesn't worry me at all. I mean, the Cowboys are the Cowboys. They needed to make moves that actually would strengthen their team, and I think strengthen their defense. This feels to me like it's a flashy thing they can do. The fans will get excited about it, but I don't know how much better it really makes them. But if you want to get on that, are you worried about George Pickens going to the Cowboys? You're welcome to. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Back to the phone lines on the Phillies when we get back. Think we've been too hard on them. You can react to the Dallas Goedert news as well. Elliot Shore Parks also will join us in the next segment with his take on all this. He was on this Dallas Goedert thing a few days ago, so we'll get Elliot's take on how the Dallas Goedert situation is shaking out. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.